are going to continue with our message. Well, as I mentioned, today we're talking about signs. We're talking about end times. And we're taking just a few weeks here, a few short weekends at the end of this church year to think about how we wait as Christians. This time we're not waiting for Jesus to come, as we'll start doing in a couple weeks with Advent. But at this time of the year, we're waiting now for Jesus to come again. We know that he's coming back to redeem, to restore all things, to make all things new. And so this is part of our Christian lives, as we're waiting for the Lord to do his work, even as we do the work he has given us to do in our own lives. Last week, we talked about all the saints who have gone before, all those faithful Christians who have passed down the faith to us and who even now point us towards the future, point us toward that last day when Jesus comes back. They point us there because of the blessed rest that they now have, even as they rest with their Lord in heaven. And today, we spent last week looking back. Today, we're looking at right now, the signs today, and what they mean for us. So, thinking about signs, imagine with me here. Take a moment to imagine a road trip. And this is something I think we've probably all done. We've traveled, but a road trip. You're driving across the country. You're in your car, and you know you've got a destination in mind. So maybe you're driving on a big interstate highway. That's your road trip. Maybe you're on those windy country highways that go, you know, zigzag all over the place. But as you're driving, you see along the side of the road, you see signs. And you may see a sign that says your destination is in 100 miles, so keep going. And then you drive a little longer, and you pass a bunch of little signs on the way, these mile markers that tick off every mile. And you pass maybe 50 of those, and then you see another big sign, which now says your destination is 50 miles away. And you drive a little longer, you see some more of those little signs, and you see another sign that says your destination is now 25 miles away. And as your journey progresses, you see these signs and many others along the way. And if you think about the purpose of these signs really aren't about themselves, right? A sign always points us to something else. And what this made me think of was some pictures of like silly signs that I've seen online and you know, these internet memes that have been around for years now. And I think we have a video or a photo. Signs like this one that just don't make any sense. It says, "Caution, this sign has sharp edges. Do not touch the edges of this sign." It does say also the bridge is out ahead, but the main thing is this sign has sharp edges, so don't touch it. Now, there's another one, which is a notice. Thank you for noticing this new notice. You're noticing it has been noticed and will be reported to a notary, I guess. These signs, of course, don't make any sense, because what good is a sign that just talks about itself? Signs are always meant to point us to something else. So the signs on your road trip point you to a destination. Signs always let you know what's coming. Signs always point us to something else. And you know, when you think about our future, when we start to think about the things that are to come, we would love to have some signs pointing the way. We would love to know what's coming. And in fact, that's exactly what the disciples asked Jesus for in our reading today. So the setting for our reading is that Jesus and his disciples are in the temple courts. We can take the sign down, by the way. Jesus and his disciples are in the temple courts, and Jesus is teaching the people here. There's a crowd gathered around Jesus, and this crowd, some of them are there, and they're Jesus' disciples. They're here to learn from Jesus. Some of the crowd are Jesus' enemies. They're there to listen, and sometimes they try to trip Jesus up with questions. Sometimes they challenge Jesus. And then there also would have been just a number of ordinary people, just kind of hanging out, people, maybe pilgrims, maybe people of the city who are there to worship, and they would just be checking out Jesus to hear his teaching. And so Jesus is teaching in the courts outside the temple in Jerusalem, and the disciples remark on this magnificent structure they're standing outside of, the temple in Jerusalem. The temple was really an amazing structure in Jesus' day. The temple itself was 30 feet wide, 90 feet long, and about 6 stories high, and it was known for its beauty. It was known for the quality of its construction. The stones that made up the temple ranged between 25 and 100 tons in weight, 7 or 8 feet thick, and up to 60 feet long. Gigantic stones making this temple. And on top of that, outside the temple, it was covered in decorations of gold. So there's this magnificent temple in the center of even a larger complex of buildings and courtyards where Jesus is teaching. The whole temple grounds, including the courtyards and other buildings around it, measured around 900 feet on a side. So for comparison, that's three NFL football fields long. This is a big place. It is truly a wonderful building, a wonderful structure. It was a national treasure of Israel. The temple and the courts where Jesus is teaching, they were the center of Israelite civic and social and religious life. People came from all over, pilgrims from across Israel and even across the world. They came to see this temple. So Jesus' words in verse 6 are a really big deal. When Jesus says, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another, every one of them will be thrown down, that's quite a prediction. So the disciples hear this and they ask Jesus for a sign of things to come. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen and what will be the sign that they are about to take place? So Jesus gives them some signs to look out for. Jesus mentions false teachers that will come in his name. Jesus predicts wars and rebellions to come. Jesus says that natural disasters will affect the people of the world. He talks about the persecution and testimony of his followers. Jesus talks about the destruction of Jerusalem and terror and apprehension and anxiety throughout the people of the world. And probably after hearing this big list of stuff, Jesus' disciples are wishing they hadn't asked because this is scary stuff. But let's pause there and think for a moment, because we remember we said that signs always point to something else. Signs aren't there just for themselves. Jesus talks about all these signs, and he says that these signs are meant to show us our need for him and his coming salvation. But if you think about yourself, if you think about the books and the articles you read, if you think about maybe the commentary you hear on the radio and cable news, if you think about what makes you excited, what makes you scared or apprehensive, what do we really spend most of our time focused on when we hear about signs like these that Jesus describes? We spend most of our time looking at the signs themselves. We're focusing so much on the things that are meant to point us to Christ that we sometimes miss the man himself. And even as Christians, we focus on the signs and we miss the man that the signs are pointing us to. You know, a great example this week was Election Day, which happened this last Tuesday. And let me say, it doesn't matter to me who you supported in that election, but chances were, if you liked one of our presidential candidates and not the other, then chances were you either woke up on Tuesday morning or you woke up on Wednesday morning after everyone's expectations were changed. Either you woke up on Tuesday morning or you woke up on Wednesday morning with this vague feeling like, oh my goodness, the end of the world must be near. Maybe? Anyone else? Maybe if you didn't like either presidential candidate, you felt like that both days, or maybe you just loved what's happened and you're feeling great. Anyway is fine, but what I'm saying is, this is one of these signs that we get preoccupied in looking at the sign rather than what it points us to. Because how many of us took that feeling, this oh my goodness feeling, and then thought of these words of Jesus or something like them where Jesus says, do not be frightened, these things must happen. No, in fact, the truth is that many Christians in many times and places, we have focused too much on the signs themselves. And so we like to ask lots of questions like, when are the end times coming? What will they be like? How will we fare during those times? How will we know that they're here? And we let these fearful questions overshadow the truth that Jesus shares in verse 28, the truth that all of these signs point us to the fact that our redemption is drawing near. All these signs are meant to point us to Jesus. And so even though these signs are scary, even though these signs may be difficult to live through, when we talk about things like wars and rebellions and disasters, these signs ought to be comforts for us as the people of God, because they all point to our need for Christ and they point to his promised restoration. Let me say a few more things about these signs to help us understand them and hopefully to reassure you, because really we should not be approaching these signs with an attitude of fear. You know, there's basically two kinds of signs here that Jesus talks about. There are signs which affect the whole world, and then there's some signs that are specific to Christ and his church, to God's people. So the signs that affect the whole world are things like wars and uprisings. Jesus says a nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There are things like natural disasters and disease, where Jesus says there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. And then there's even false saviors, whom Jesus mentions up in verse 8. He says, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is here." Jesus says, "Don't follow them." These false saviors are people who promise a solution to all of our problems, but ultimately cannot save us. And so he talks about these things: conflict, disaster, sickness, and false hope. And these are all general kind of signs which affect the whole world. These are the things that St. Paul, the apostle, called the whole creation groaning in expectation, waiting for its Savior to arrive. And these signs show us, most of all, that our world is simply not right, not all the way. These signs show us our need for Christ, and God's people, we endure these signs along with the rest of the world. But there's another sign that Jesus talks about, and I believe it's actually a far more important sign than the rest of these. And this sign that Jesus talks about is the testimony and the persecution of the church. Jesus says, starting in verse 12, he says, "Before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." So the testimony of God's people is a far more important sign, because these other signs we've talked about, wars, conflict, sickness, and disaster, these things can really only show us our need. But the testimony of the church shows us the solution, shows us God's solution. So your testimony, your faithfulness to the Lord, your service to your neighbor, your sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, your testimony is what lets the world hear and respond to the gospel. It's your testimony that has the power to bring friends and family to the saving waters of holy baptism, the grace that we receive from God there. It's your testimony that has the power to bring your friends and family to true faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the single most important sign of the end times Jesus shares. It's the church sharing the gospel. And now Jesus, he shares another prediction. He goes on and he talks about the desolation of Jerusalem. And this is really a historical event that happened about 40 years later in about 70 AD. The Jewish people of Jerusalem revolted against Rome, and Roman armies went and they surrounded them in response. The Roman armies actually killed 1.1 million Jewish people at that time. And at that time, they destroyed the temple and actually fulfilled this prediction that Jesus gives up in verse 6. But with these things being the signs, these wars, these disasters and sicknesses, the testimony and the persecution of the church, and then this desolation of Jerusalem, with these things being the signs that Jesus shares, let's kind of tie the meaning together, because we can draw something from all these signs put together. Because Jesus says that all these things are the signs of the end times. And there's one really important thing that we realize about the end times when we take a look at all these signs together. And what these signs actually show us is that we're living in them right now. We're living in the end times right now. And in fact, we've been living in the end times ever since Jesus walked the earth. You know, we can run through that list of signs again. We can say wars, well, we've passed that sign already, because that happens all the time. We can talk about disasters, and we've passed that sign already, because those happen all the time. Sickness, we've passed that sign already, because there's always sickness. There's the testimony and the persecution of the church that we've passed that sign already, because we see all of these things happening already, even as far back as Acts chapter 2, starting with the day of Pentecost, the preaching of the gospel there, and then the persecution of the church afterwards. There's the desolation of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and we have passed that sign too, as if to say the temple's gone now. There's no way to the Lord through the old sacrificial system. Christ is your only option. We've passed all these signs. It means that we are living right now in the end times, and we have been for a while. And I've got to say that this was actually one of the most common misconceptions that Christians have about the end times today. Because people, we have this idea that we're waiting for the end times to begin, when in fact they're already here. And the end times really don't revolve around current events like wars and disasters. You guys can think back to some of these books back in the 70s, The Late Great Planet Earth, talking about the Soviet Union and then the fall of the Soviet Union, and there people are always worried about what's going on in Israel and Jerusalem and saying, oh, the end times are here. The end times aren't about that. The end times are all about the sharing of the gospel. But many Christians kind of miss this, and so I've got to say that when we read articles about the coming end times, or when we hear someone on TV or the radio talking about what's going on in Israel or Jerusalem right now, and they say, oh boy, this looks like it could be it, the end times are coming any day now, we hear this kind of stuff around every big event, by the way, including presidential elections that we just went through. We hear this around every disaster, every outbreak of war, even every outbreak of peace, ironically. That's not how it works. If we would go back to our highway metaphor, we would have to say that these folks kind of missed the signs. They've passed the exit. They need to turn around. And let me say really quick, I'm not trying to like knock on anyone in particular. And there's a lot that we could talk about here. There's a lot that we could talk about here with the end times, with these signs. And I would be more than happy to sit down with anyone, any of you or lots of people together, and to talk through this end times stuff or to answer questions that you might have, because there is so much of this and so many ideas out there today. I would be more than happy to talk about that with you. But the point is to say that we are living in the end times right now. We have been ever since biblical times. The signs we see today tell us that much. And all these signs, remember, are given for our benefit. All these signs are given for our benefit so that people might see that Christ is Lord of all. And Jesus does point us to kind of a climax that'll happen at the very end. In verse 25, Jesus says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Stuff's getting pretty bad. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. It's true that things always seem to be getting worse, and in some ways they are, in some ways they aren't, but have no fear, because redemption is drawing near. So, if we're living in the end times right now, and there's truly nothing new happening here that hasn't already been happening for 2,000 years, what are we supposed to do in response? Well, what we do is we do what the church has done for 2,000 years. We do what God's people have done for 2,000 years. We obey our Lord's commands, and we testify to his grace. Because Jesus' command to us to stand firm is still good today. Jesus commands to us to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, to obey the Ten Commandments, to live as God has created you to live in harmony with God's design for our lives. All of these commands are still good for us today. The Lord's commands to us are the same in every age. They really are. And it's up to us to do our best to apply them to our present day, to share the gospel, to live as he wants us to live. So, stand firm in the Lord. Trust that your redemption is near. Do your best to share the love of Jesus with everyone you meet, because for all the people in your life who don't know Jesus, the truth is that you are the sign. You are the sign that points them to life and forgiveness and salvation in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand.